May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is John 18. This is right after the first Eucharist in the upper room. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden into which he himself entered and his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place for Jesus, had often met there with his disciples. And it goes on and tells some of the story. I'll come back to that in just a second. But the other three Gospels give a little bit bigger picture of the things that happened. Verse 39, this is the Luke passage, chapter 22. And he came out and proceeded as it was his custom, the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, and saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." And of course, Jesus repeated that three times. He said, "Pray that you don't fall into temptation." And then you remember the story that three different times Jesus went and got on his face before the Father and said, "Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass, but not my will be done, but your will be done." But every time he'd get through praying, he'd go back to check on the disciples that had fallen asleep. That happened three different times. And he finally said to them, "Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak." And so when you get to the John 18 passage, and there are other accounts of this in the other Gospels, but this was just the one I was drawn to today, is that in verse 4 of that John 18 passage, "Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them as they were approaching him with torches and lanterns and weapons, 'Whom do you seek?' They answered him and said, 'Jesus the Nazarene.' He said to them, 'I am he.' And Judas also was betraying him, was standing with them, and when he said to them, 'I am he,' they withdrew back and fell to the ground. And therefore he asked them, 'Whom do you seek?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazarene.' And he answered, 'I told you, I am he. And if therefore you seek me, let these my disciples go, that the word might be fulfilled which he spoke of, Thou whom you have given me, Father, I lost not one.' But Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus." Now, one of the Gospels says, and Jesus healed it, put the ear back on and healed it. "Jesus, therefore, said to Peter, 'Put the sword into the sheath, the cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?' And so the Roman cohort and commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. They take him before the first trial." But verse 15 interrupts that story. "And Simon Peter was following Jesus," and this is his first denial. Then verse 19 interrupts that story and goes back to, "And the high priest therefore started questioning Jesus." And then in verse 25, it interrupts that and goes back and tells the last two times that Peter denies Jesus. And then it goes on and tells the rest of the story of Jesus's trial. They asked him if he was a king. He said, "Yes, I am a king. It's not this kingdom, I'm a king." Just in my time with the Lord this morning, I was just fascinated with this because, again, this is an important theological thing, is that Jesus, though he was God, and he was 100% God, Jesus lived on the earth as a man. He laid down his right to exercise his independence as deity. Scripture is very clear about that. Church history, that's been part of. Understand, it's called the kenosis, the self-emptying of Jesus. And he lived as a spirit-filled man. He lived as second Adam. He lived a life of faith. And he lived that way so that he would show us, fallen Adam, how first Adam was intended to live, a life of radically yielded will and radically confident, trusting, abandoned faith in God. So when Jesus faces these things, remember just earlier in John 14, Jesus said, "The works that I do, I don't do the works, but it's the Father who in me does his works." So when I look at this, And I see this story, obviously, when at verse chapter 18, it like shows Jesus, then Peter, then Jesus, then Peter, then Jesus, then Peter, kind of contrasting their reaction to the same crisis. Because you see, Jesus had just told Peter, he said, you need to pray lest you fall when the testing comes. And what happened in Jesus' prayer life in that moment, as he sought the Lord in the secret place, is that he broke through again. It's kind of like deep calls on the deep. Psalm 72 talks about, or Psalm 42. Jesus just broke through again in terms of the place of surrender he was. His meat was to do the will of the Father. Everything in his humanity was going, I want to avoid this. But deep down inside, it was like, Father, what you want is what I want in the end. And he went through that three times, and it was so stressful, it says that he sweated drops of blood. His very pores were, that's a lot of stress. It even says in one of the Gospels that his emotions were deeply depressed. So in a place of emotional deep depression and extreme stress where he's actually sweating drops of blood, he's breaking through to that place where no matter what else is going on around him, in the presence of the Father, this is where the real battle's being fought, in the secret place, where he's breaking through again to a deeper place in his own surrendered will to the Father. So that by the time Jesus comes out of that place and all this trauma begins, where all these people, these soldiers and Judas were all lanterns and torches and swords, very chaotic, Peter handles it one way by cutting God's ear off. Because he didn't want this. Remember when Jesus rebuked him, he says, do you want me to resist my Father's will? Because Peter didn't have a clue what God's will was. He had not settled that. And if God's will wasn't going to look like what he thought, he hadn't worked through that. It's funny how Jesus answered the Father in the place, secret place. It wasn't, my Father, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and I'm yielded. He just said, whatever your will is what I want. Now it says when he saw them coming, he knew they were going to be coming because he, as the Son of Man, the Holy Spirit had dropped that in him. But I don't know if Jesus knew every single detail. But the cool thing is when you look at that chapter, who's in control there? Is it the soldiers? Or is it Jesus? So obviously Jesus is in control of the situation. And because in the secret place where the anointing of God's presence clings to us, that he had broken through on the inner man, when you break through to new places in your inner man of surrender, your outer man carries a presence that influences. So that when they just ask him a simple question, he said, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And they fell out in the spirit. That didn't happen because he was deity. Remember? That happened because Jesus was anointed with a presence in the outer man because in the secret place he had broken through to deeper surrender in his inner man. And then there's the contrast of what's going on with Peter denying. First, he tried to handle it in the flesh. Then he gets fearful and denies Christ three times. But the whole time, Christ is in control. Because he knew the Father had it. He had surrendered everything to the Father. There was nothing to be anxious about. He had given up his right. He had said yes in the place of prayer. See, that's where the battles are won and fought, in the place of prayer. In the secret place, in the inner man where nobody else can see, where we're either going deeper into places of yes or we're not prepared for the testing when it comes. Here are two guys, we're both in Gethsemane. One sought the Lord, the other one slept. And when the crisis came, one was in absolute control, carried an anointing that affected everything around him. They weren't in control of his life or his destiny. The Father was, and Jesus knew it. I think somehow they knew it too. But Peter was trying to control everything. That's what we do in the flesh, isn't it? When we get scared, things aren't happening the way we thought they were going to. When our will's not really yielded. I just thought that was a fascinating story. And I think I've just sort of scratched the surface. So if you're poor CTKers, you'll get to hear this again somewhere down the road. But I just think that's really interesting, you know, for both of them. One slept, one sought the Lord, and that place was broken. He was deep, called to the deep, because there was some deep stuff he was about to go through. Hard stuff. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's